Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of a Christmas and the Baptism of Jesus sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Christmas and Baptism of Jesus sermons.
Stanza one of the hymn, O Jesus, so sweet, O Jesus, so mild. We think about the birth of Christ in very romantic terms nowadays, don't we? We think about it in terms of the cuteness, the adorable nature of a little baby born, even in a stable, even in a dirty town of Bethlehem, still the baby's cuteness kind of shines forth. But that robs us of something very serious about the birth of this baby. It certainly is very serious business that this child has taken up, entering the world through the womb of the Virgin Mary, born into a world that he was going to redeem with his own body and blood at the cross. We're going to be talking about the birth of Jesus with Deaconess Pam Nielsen for the next few minutes of the program. Luke chapter 2, the first 20 verses. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is a regular guest editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, welcome back.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm very well. Now, let's talk about this birth in a way that we don't always think about it nowadays. And that is that this baby is coming to both reveal and restore our lost image of God. Talk about that.
Well, that's right. By all appearances, we don't see that with the human eye, and the people in that day certainly didn't. But this is God incarnate, God coming down, taking on the flesh and blood of humanity, a humanity that was broken by sin, and in that sin had lost the image of God, had been separated, couldn't even look upon God without dying because of their sin. He comes, he takes on this flesh. God takes on our human flesh, and he lives among us and cares for people, suffers, dies, rises again, and pays for that sin and restores to us our broken relationship for all eternity, gives us back what was lost. And that's why he's come, Emmanuel, God with us, the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And you're right. It's so romanticized, and the little children all dressed up at the Christmas plays and the cute little angels and shepherds and the healthy little baby wrapped up in the mangers of our Christmas pageants. But you're right. This is very serious business, why he's come and what he's come to do, to rescue dying humanity from their sin because they could not rescue themselves.
We've got about a minute and a half before we take our break here. Let's talk about the accident that really is no accident, the fact that Mary and Joseph and then the baby Jesus end up in the city of David, even though they're all from Nazareth, but it's no accident, is it?
That's exactly right. We want to note Micah chapter 5, verse 2, the prophecy that says, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel." Prophesying that this child would come, and we have other prophecies that know that we know he has to be of the line of David. And so this happens that God makes these things come together. Caesar Augustus has a registration. He does a census that requires everyone to return to their hometown. And Mary and Joseph, who live in Nazareth, have to travel back to the town of their family, the town of David, Bethlehem, and go there to register. And, of course, Caesar, you know, by history, and in Caesar's mind, he's orchestrating this for taxation, for all kinds of political reasons, and yet it's God who is ruling over the plans of his heart and of the people and brings these things about at just the right time so that he could bring his son into the world and locate him.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. She's editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're talking on this Tuesday afternoon, December the 20th, about the birth of Jesus.
Rocking around the Christmas tree.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
It's the most wonderful time.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell.
Tired of an endless loop of pop Christmas music? Coming December 24th, sacred music for the Christmas season, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Serenity. Stability. Solemnity. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the Christmas season, coming Christmas Eve at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Real Reformation Radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoda, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming, Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana, Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois, and Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal, issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We're talking about the birth of Jesus in Luke chapter 2. The story is so familiar to us, Pam, but sometimes we just condense it down into just the little diorama of the nativity. You suggest that perhaps to help us understand what it is God is accomplishing by just at the time when Jesus is to be delivered, he has the Holy Family in the very city of David so that Christ could fulfill this prophecy in his birth. Get out a map and actually look at what they had to do to get there.
That's right. It was a 90-mile journey. You know, almost every Bible has the map of that New Testament region. And if it's got any kind of topography, you can see that it's a hilly region. And so in that era, to travel that 90 miles was not an easy task. Maybe there was a trail. There certainly weren't paved roads, and it was bumpy and hilly. And we know from Scripture that they were on a donkey, Mary and Joseph, and she's great with child. And there's even speculation that that was even treacherous because of highway robbers and things like that. So it wasn't an easy journey for them, but it was one they did following the rule of their civil leader who commanded that all go to their hometowns to be registered. And through that, God orchestrates that, that these Nazarenes, Joseph and Mary, end up in Bethlehem, where Jesus would be delivered. And so then you have both those prophecies being fulfilled. The Messiah coming out of Bethlehem, but he's called a Nazarene. And God covers that all in this journey and gets them to where he needs them to be.
The gospel writer Luke is careful to name names here. He actually mentions two historical figures who are not at the center of the action. If he's writing secular history, they would be, but not in this story that he's telling.
That's right, but they do help us to know in human time and in place when these events occurred. These were real events. There was a real Mary and Joseph, and certainly a baby Jesus who would grow up to save us. And that is set in with historical figures mentioned by Luke: Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor, and Quirinius, the governor of Syria. And we know from history that Augustus ruled from 27 BC until AD 14. So that gives us a historical time and place. And often that's a reason cited for Luke's inclusion of this, that we have now some historical facts to accompany the story. But, you know, there's an even more important reason, I think, for that, that Luke is contrasting here the reigns of these secular rulers with the reigns of Jesus Christ. Here we have Jesus appearing to be very weak and helpless. He's a baby. He's, you know, in a manger, in a stable, in a town not his own. And he's being moved about by these powerful secular human rulers born in the humble location. And you contrast that with Augustus and Quirinius and their high rule and their palace and their money and fame and wealth. But yet, in faith, we see Jesus, though a tiny baby, we see him as and know him as God. And in that, we know that he is the one directing these events. He's the one calling for the census so that he can be born in Bethlehem and yet raised a Nazarene. It's his rule, and he is the greater ruler. And so it's a very interesting contrast there, and all of that comes out in that Luke's mention of those two secular rulers of the day.
We should also point out, and I love the way that Growing in Christ curriculum does this on a regular basis, that the song of the angels at this birth is still sung by us today, in some cases almost every Sunday, a version thereof. Talk about that.
Well, that's right. The words of the angels, glory to God in the highest. You know, we call that the Gloria in Excelsis, and that's in our worship service each week, often sung after the intro and in Kyrie and prior to the prayer or the collect of the day. The angels' words, they announce that in the birth of Christ, God does not hold our sin against us, and that he makes peace with us through Jesus. And so we sing those words every week to call to our minds, to our hearts, this fact, this truth, that God does not hold our sin against us. We've confessed our sins, we've received the forgiveness of sins and the absolution, and we sing this. And then we hear, again, the gospel words and the gospel reading and the preaching. It's all part of the rhythm of our worship and liturgy, all of it to help point us in our faith to Christ as our Savior, and to the certainty that our sins are not held against us. We sing this in our liturgy. It reminds us that we continue to have peace with God and that he bestows his pleasure upon us, as the angels sang that night. You know, we enter church asking for mercy, pleading for mercy, and then we sing this. And where it comes in our services most often is in anticipation of hearing again the gospel and then receiving the body and blood of Christ, the very things that give us this peace that the angels sang about.
Pam, before we let you go, our Witness Mercy Life Together lesson this week are some relief efforts in the Philippine floods. Tell us about this.
Sure. This floods happened over the weekend. Tropical storm struck one of the islands of the Philippines and have caused, 40,000 people to be evacuated. People, whole villages, homes, everything washed away, not unlike what tsunamis have done in recent years. But this is really a flood. And the Philippines is a historic region of mission for the LCMS. We've had a long partnership there. Early mission work led to the birth of the Philippine Lutheran Church, and we today walk with them in this time of tragedy, and you can read about it. There's links there on your website, and we'll be on the lcms.org about what's going on, what we're hearing from the leaders of the church there. Their members and churches have been directly affected, and there is great sorrow and need, even in this week of Christmas. And President Harrison has asked for churches to remember these people in their prayers in the services this week, and you can find it all in the links, but it's something to pray about and keep in mind.
Folks, you can find out more about flood relief efforts in the Philippines at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is editor of Witness Mercy Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, have a very blessed Christmas, you and your family, and a remainder of Advent.
Thank you. Blessings to you as well.
We base our conversations with Pam every week on, and I mentioned it before, fantastic Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House, the name of which says it all. It's called Growing in Christ, because this is really the essence of the Christian life, to grow in the Word of God, to continue as lifelong students of the Word of God, finding therein, year after year, the central message of that scripture, which is Christ and Him crucified. That's exactly what growing in Christ does. Lesson after lesson, year after year, age group after age group. Find out more about growing in Christ at our website under the Listen on Demand page, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for a free sample of Growing in Christ, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's called Growing in Christ. In the second hour of the program, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is going to join us. We're going to talk about efforts that have been pretty consistent over the last 4 years to mobilize gay and lesbian voters by the Obama administration. And, well, as another opportunity for election comes up, you need to solidify your base. And apparently that's what the Obama administration is trying to do with not only these key voters, gay and lesbians, but also key financial supporters. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute will be our guest. Then we'll reflect upon the death of atheist Christopher Hitchens with Douglas Wilson, who's written a column in Christianity Today titled How to Think About the Death of an Outspoken Atheist. With Christmas coming up and very little time to do so, we're asking you to help us promote the talk radio that we're providing here at Issues, etc. for the Christmas season with our Christmas bulletin insert that you can find at our support page, issuesetc.org. Click support. Also, very important to help promote the launch of Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the Christmas season, a new website, LutheranPublicRadio.org. You'll find information about both talk radio for the Christmas season and sacred music for the Christmas season in the Issues, Etc. Christmas Bulletin insert, and you'll find that at our website. It's ready for you to download, print, cut up, and put into your bulletin. The church I attend already had it in there last week, so everybody knew about talk radio for the Christmas season and sacred music for the Christmas season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. Go there. Help us promote that. And stick around for hour two in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.